You're listening to the Kingdom Culture Church podcast. To connect with us, hop on social media or go to kingdomculturechurch.com.au.
So we started the Daniel series this morning. And one thing we started to look at was that the purposes and the plans of God can never be thwarted. They might seem to go underground, but they always come back to the surface. They always come back with power. They always come back with liberation. They always come back with salvation. They always come back with deliverance. So whatever you're facing tonight, it doesn't matter what you think you're going through, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, the God of the history of the Bible, the God of who we are connected to, the seed of Abraham, His promises are sure, His promises are true, and He is going to surface in our lives. And in fact, I believe that 2021 is going to be a revealing of God for this church. And what do I mean by that? Because that sounds very, very grand. I believe that what it means is that if we'll take seriously the vision focus that we have of room makers, if we will make room for God, He is going to come and fill and fill and fill and fill and fill and fill. Anybody want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It's not a one-off thing. It's a be being filled. It's a continual thing that happens in our lives. And so, Father, we just thank you tonight for your word. We thank you that your word is truth. We thank you for, Lord, we're humbled as we read of these men of God in Daniel who just loved you with all their heart and all their devotion. And God, we want to learn, Lord, from these stories. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning, I told how yesterday I was gardening, and I like to get out in the garden and do a bit of therapy for me. And I was chopping down some branches, and I was pulling on this vine, and then all of a sudden, these wasps started attacking me, and they stung me on the neck and on my wrist. And I was just doing, you know how you do that mad dance thing where you're like, and then. Don't take a photo of that, that's mean. And then you're like, and you realize that your neighbors could have been watching, you know, you just look like you're demented in the front yard. But I was swatting them away. But the thing about wasps is they were coming into my garden, invading my garden, but they think that this is their territory. And the truth is that what happens, you know, the enemy comes in. And he thinks it's his territory. But Jesus came and he said, no, no, no. This is my territory. This is my world. This is my heaven. This is my universe. You don't own it. And he says, now you come and you come to take back the kingdom. And listen, I sprayed those old wasps and got rid of them. And showed them who was boss with the mortine. But tonight I believe that if you weren't here this morning, you should listen to part one because it gives a lot of the history. We're going to cover a little bit of the history tonight, but I want to tell you something. One thing that God spoke to me about this message, about the preaching messages that we bring in this house, especially the series around books, is that I saw a picture, and it is like the bulldozers come in and they clear away all the things that need clearing away, and then God is able to do what He wants to do. And this is what's so exciting for me. So the book of Daniel is a mixture of the best known and the least known parts of Scripture. So everyone knows about Daniel in the lion's den? Good, must be in church. Many people have heard about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Not from Bendigo, Abednego. In the fiery furnace? Good. 2 out of 3. And some know of Belshazzar, who was Nebuchadnezzar's successor, the feast. A lot of people know that because of that phrase, the writings on the wall, meaning that judgment was coming. 3 out of 3. Well, this is a 5-star church. See, the best-known passages are easy to understand, but the lesser-known passages are difficult. And they're a bit uncomfortable to our thinking because the symbolism and mystical and obscure and the language that is used is unusual. So a bit of a backdrop before we get into the preaching part. Daniel is divided into two parts, chapters 1 to 6. These are the easy to understand stories of displaced people, miracles, loved of Sunday school. Who doesn't love a miracle? I'm not convinced. Who doesn't love a miracle? Good. Chapter 7 to 12 are mainly prophetic, and they're considered so difficult that adults rarely study them. And a heaviness came upon the congregation as the weight of having to read 7 to 12 of Daniel fell upon the congregation. Anyway, we are not called to make observations about the books that we study. We are called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, we need to be persuaded that we have good news tonight. Because if we are not persuaded, if you are not persuaded that you carry the good news of Jesus Christ, how are you ever going to persuade somebody that you have good news for them? If your good news is no better than the news that they're already hearing. Good news is that the good news is found all over the book of Daniel. I got a message this morning. I was up early preparing, and I think a person sent it, one of our people, young people sent it to me and in the night, and they were just encouraging me. And they said, the journey we get to go on as a church is powerful as we study the Word of God. And it really, really hit me that Daniel is part of our journey. It's not what can we find to study, or what can we find to do, or what can we find to look at or impress people with. It's part of our journey. Every book of the Bible is part of our journey. It's part of our history. And so God is bulldozing stuff in our lives tonight, if we will allow Him. He's clearing your undergrowth. He's clearing trees that have no right to have grown where they've grown. Root systems that have clogged the soil. Rocks are being blown out because God wants to do a new thing, plant new seed, and bring a new crop in our lives. 2021, I believe it's the year that Kingdom Culture Church makes a deliberate statement that we will make room for God. And the backdrop to the book of Daniel is this, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, he wanted to add Egypt to his collection of kingdoms. He collected kingdoms. Heather collects memorabilia. I collect cookbooks. And some of you collect speeding fines. Jesus revealed it to me. I'm not looking at anyone. But somebody laughed very loudly. Anyway, Nebuchadnezzar saw that the wealth and the sophistication of Egypt, and he said, I want that. I'm going to have it. And so in order to take Egypt, if we can put the map up, thank you. In order to take Egypt, so this is Babylon here. So in order to take Egypt here, he swept through all these countries down into Egypt and he conquered them. And in his conquering, he took this little orange space here, which was called Judah. Now, he conquered a lot of them. History shows us when nations, people groups, individuals become greedy for power, they start looking to expand their kingdom. They become roommakers for their schemes and their wicked plans. Listen, do not be caught off guard tonight, because I want to tell you, the enemy is not going to be stopped in what he wants to do. He wants to be a roommaker in this world, but God is looking for a people, a church, a nation, a group, sons and daughters who will stand up and be roommakers for him, because he is tired of seeing evil in the earth, and he's actually saying, hey, stand up, love, be the people that I've called you to be. Be a son and daughter of God. Let me rule in your life. Let be under my kingship. You know, we get offended sometimes by words like ruling and submitting and all of these things. We need to get over ourselves.
We don't necessarily want to bring ourselves under people, but you really want to bring yourself under the authority of God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Savior who saves you and me. He is the one that sets me free. Listen, when I was following my way, when you were following your way, where did it lead you? And then you're going, oh God, I don't think actually you've got it right. I think I'll do my own thing. You can have that one for free. History shows us these things. And what do you do when a little insignificant country, Judah, stands in your way of getting to your goal, which is Egypt? Well, you just take it out. You overrun it. You make slaves of a people. You destroy God's temple. Big mistake. Somebody say, big mistake.
Big mistake.
I said somebody. No, sorry. Big mistake. Old Nebuchadnezzar, what he does then is he leaves the Judean king, puppet king, Jehoiakim, as ruler of the king of Judah. Now, I know some people find history deadly dull, but honestly, biblical history is fascinating. In fact, I'll let you in a secret. Biblical history could save your life. Because if you read it and learn from it, your heart might be changed. Your path you might be stopped in your path and taken off in the right direction, following hard after God. You know, anyone nodding off during this little bit of history will write out 100 lines. And they will spend an hour in detention with Mrs. Hewitt. I personally wouldn't wish that on anyone, but in 606 before BC, Nebuchadnezzar removes all of Judah's royal family, the leaders and the princes, and he carries them away to Babylon. And this is where Daniel and his three friends go. They're part of royalty. They're part of nobility, and they get taken off to Babylon. And then Nebuchadnezzar, he does this 2 more times. 9 years later, he removes the politicians and the craftsmen to Babylon. So Heather would have gone with her masters. Chris, you would have gone too with your landscaping business. You're a craftsman. Rounded up with the politicians. Could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. And then 11 years later, he came back for the dregs of Jewish society, 586. Everybody else who was left, which is most of us, sorry to tell you. And the temple was destroyed. Rachel, it would have been you, me, Sam Cockgrove, all fighting over whose turn it was to ride on the donkey. But this is where the beauty of God's eternal memory comes into play, because although Judah was all but wiped out, God has eternal plans for her. Yeah. You see, it's not the size of your nation that's important, it's the size of our God. It's not the size of your church that is important, it's the size of our God. And it's not the size of your ministry that is important, it's the size of your secret life with God. You see, to Nebuchadnezzar, Judah wasn't even a blip on the radar. Judah meant nothing to him. But when God has purposed that a deliverer is going to come out of you, guess what happens, Noel? A deliverer comes out of you. When you are purposed to live in the ways of God, when He has decided that you can be a deliverer in today's society, nothing can stop you being that deliverer. And it's all by His strength. It's not our power and amazingness. But if He says you will be a deliverer, and I believe He is calling a people to rise up tonight, calling a people to rise up this year, not just this church, all the local churches in this area, all the local churches in Australia, all the local churches around the world, He is causing us to rise up, not to be big-headed, but to move in humility and be deliverers. Be the deliverers that God has asked us to be. just like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were hidden away in Babylon, yet they knew they were part of God's plan to bring in a deliverer out of Zion. And when God says your destiny is to birth the Lion of Judah, then you may be the great King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, who makes puppet kings of all the other nations. But really, you are a puppet in the hand of the Almighty God, because He is using you to bring forth His purposes in the earth. He is saying, Judah will live. Judah will live. Judah will live, and out of Zion Hill comes salvation. Out of Zion's Hill, the Lion of Judah will come and break every chain, every chain, every chain. Sometimes we just get caught up in other people's stuff. Judah. I give him a hard time, don't I? Judah was caught up in other people's stuff. It looked like the plan of God had gone astray. When I was 13, 14, I got caught up in other people's stuff. My parents were divorcing, and I was caught up in other people's stuff. There's people in here tonight who are caught up in other people's stuff, and it's not your fault. But God is saying, don't let that stuff define you. Don't let that stuff cause your heart to be discouraged. Don't let that stuff cause you to be discouraged from the ways of God. Judah was caught up in other people's stuff, and yet in the big plan of God, God had purposed that Judah would live. Now in 2 Chronicles 36 verse 5, it says, Jehoiakim, who was the puppet king of Judah, was 25 years old when he began to rule, and he was king for 11 years in Jerusalem. In God's opinion, he was an evil king. We live in a world of opinions, when really only one opinion counts. God's opinion. In God's opinion, he was an evil king. But as Christian, we navigate not only opinions, but belief systems, other people's belief systems. We don't have opinions, we have beliefs. Scripture is open to interpretation. Doctrines are formed from interpretation. Listen, there's so many people in the world, especially with the advent of social media, who are shouting at us, let me be the signpost to guide you to your life from this point forward. But Jesus said, follow me. When he walked past Andrew, he said, follow me, and he just kept going, and then Andrew left everything and followed him. What does that mean? It means follow in the Greek means walk the same road. Jesus said, interestingly, he said, follow me, but actually the Greek means in the same road. But actually Jesus was saying in John 15, I am the way. I am the way. But that word means road. I am the road, the truth, and the life. I am the road. It's not some abstract thing. What you're buying into is me. So who is this road? It wasn't the interpretation of the Father. Jesus wasn't the interpretation of the Father, the filter. He was the expression of the Father and his love on this earth. You know, one of Jesus' final messages was about abiding. You know, to hold an opinion or a belief is far from evil. But, you know, the most amazing thing is when opinions become beliefs, and then they in turn become the standard by which we judge. It's at this point churches and friendships, relationships start to fracture. Why is this important? Because we are influenced by so much. We're influenced by the podcasts we listen to. We're influenced by social media. We're influenced by the books we read, the news, a half-read book. But what's our context? What's our measuring stick? It's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. And then what's our motivation? It's so important that we understand who we are. And the thing was, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew who they were. They knew who they were. They didn't lose sight of who they were in God's sight. And even though they were swallowed up, as it were, in Babylon, they knew who they were. You know, Jesus didn't come to expose darkness and embarrass people, but to love them out of darkness and to destroy the darkness that holds us. And I love this scripture, which is 1 Corinthians 4, 1-5. It says, Paul, don't imagine us leaders to be something we aren't. We are servants of Christ, not his masters. We are guides into God's divine secrets, not security guards posted to protect them. The requirements for a good guide and reliability and accurate knowledge. It matters very little to me what you think of me, even less where I rank in popular opinion. I don't even rank myself. Comparison in these matters are pointless. I'm not aware of anything that would disqualify me from being a good guide for you, but that doesn't matter much. The master makes that judgment, so don't get ahead of the master and jump to conclusions with your judgments before all the evidence is in. When he comes, he will bring out in the open and place in evidence all kinds of things we never even dreamed of, inner motives, purposes, and prayers. Only then will any one of us get to hear the well done of God. And what I'm saying here is, these guys did not lose sight of who they were. Even though the king set the reset button on their lives and wiped out their history, they never once lost sight of who their God was. And they didn't care about the opinions of Babylon. They cared about the opinion of the living God. And it finishes in Daniel 1:21. It says, Daniel continued in the king's service until the first year in the reign of King Cyrus. Now, I didn't realize this before, but Daniel served under 7 different kings over 70 years. 7 different kings. Dictators, narcissists. There was Nebuchadnezzar. This reads like a monument to Lord of the Rings. Nebuchadnezzar, evil Merodach, Nergal Sherazar, Labashi Marduk, Nabonidus, Darius the Mede, and Cyrus of Persia. It took place over a 70-year period. But let's just take a reality check here. We, as Christians, can fall apart when a Labour government gets in and not a Liberal government, or the other way around. Or the Greenies get in. Or you might be a libertarian. But your life is 1,000 times less dangerous than Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Now, should we pray for our government? Absolutely. But we do really need to take a reality check that we are not living in days where we are persecuted, where we have to go underground, where we have to hide our beliefs. And just like Anna was talking about, the woman from North Korea. And yet somehow they lived their life with excellence. And I want to challenge us tonight, because with every change of government, he lived his life with excellence. He wasn't a fair-weather Christian. He didn't just change when it didn't go his way, so he just took the time off. Listen, there are some of us that say, you know what, the reason this is in my life is because of this. But the truth is, God is looking for people who would deal with stuff in their lives, whatever the political climate, whatever the social climate, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're happy, whether you're sad. God is looking for people whose hearts run after him. See, Daniel and his friends lived with excellence in a land that wasn't their own. They excelled in all that they did as foreigners amongst a strange people. They were culture creators in a hostile culture. Daniel and his mates were surrounded by a foreign, evil, dominant culture, and they were indoctrinated in the ways of Babylon, it says in chapter 1. Daniel was dipped in the culture, but not baptized into it. You know, we talked about this in water baptism, the difference between baptō and baptizo, dipped or immersed. See, they were dipped in Babylon, but they weren't immersed in it because they were baptized into a kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And listen, very honestly, some believers are getting pickled by the world when we need to be baptized into the kingdom. We need to be marinating in the kingdom of God and the word of God and the worship of God and the prayer of God and the love of God. We need to be baptized into these things, not pickled by the world, not taking up the vinegar of the world right to our core. You know, these were either children of 10 years old or up to 18 years old. These were not adults as such. Something amazing was upon these people, these young people. But somebody taught them so well that they were unshaken by the changes in their lives. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit tonight to train you well in the things of the Holy Spirit? So that all the changes in your life that happen, and believe me, I've seen some changes over 60 years. But do you want to be a person who's unshaken by the changes of life? You know, in Psalm 137, this psalm is about, the psalmist has written it because they were captured by Babylon. They were exiles in Babylon. And it says, alongside Babylon's river, we sat on the banks, we cried and cried, remembering the good old days in Zion. Alongside the quaking aspens or the weeping willows, we stacked our unplayed harps. That's where our captors demanded songs, sarcastic and mocking. Sing us a happy song, Zion song. Oh, how could we ever sing God's song in this wasteland? If I ever forget you, Jerusalem, let my fingers wither. Let my tongue swell. If I fail to remember you, if I fail, oh dear Jerusalem, to honor you as my greatest. See, these people had lost what it was to be a believer living in a foreign culture. They were pining after something in a sense that didn't exist, instead of going, what we have in our secret place, what we have in our hearts, what we have in our relationship with God is better than even the physical Zion. Because sometimes we can be a bit like, I need to get to this church to be part of what's going on over here. I need to go to that church to be part of what's going on over there. Actually, we don't need to do that at all. We don't necessarily need to move on. We just need to stay and dig and find the well. We need to stay and understand that the secret place is not out there, it's in here. And it's our relationship with Jesus. And there's a couple over here, young couple. Yet you two here in the second row. I just felt, yes, thank you for waving. I just felt like the Holy Spirit was saying that this psalm really applied to you guys in whatever way. I'm not too sure, but I just felt like God was saying to you, hey, it's time to pick your harps back up. It's time to start playing again the songs of the Lord. It's time to start understanding that you have a relationship with Him. And it's not like you've run away or done anything like that, but it's almost like a sadness can come in sometimes and it can make us feel like we're separate from God, and we can have a longing for God but not actually do anything with it. And the Lord, I believe, is saying to you tonight that He's with you and He wants you to do something with it. He's here to meet with you. And it says in that psalm that they cried, but those tears in a sense didn't help them. But God is saying, you know, if you cry out to Him in this season, He's going to meet with you. He's going to be the God that you know Him to be, and He's going to cause you to play again. And even those harps I saw, you know, harp that you have to tune them, and I saw that the strings were a bit flabby, but God is saying He's going to help you to tune those strings, and the sound that comes out of you both is going to be amazing, and it's going to be an honor and bring glory to God. So we get the band up, thank you. I've got 3 points in finishing. One is Breaking Bad. Nebuchadnezzar was a bad king who had a bad dream, was in a bad mood, and made bad decisions. Sometimes you can make really bad decisions when you're in a bad mood. So he did this one. He said, let's kill everyone who can't tell me what I'm dreaming and thinking about. Let's kill everyone who can't tell me what I'm dreaming and thinking about. That's like me firing the exec team because they don't know what I'm dreaming or thinking about. They think I don't know that every now and then they text each other, go, oh, I think he's in a little bit of a mood today. Good answer. Daniel 2:5, it said, the king answered the fortune tellers, this is my decree. If you can't tell me both the dream itself and its interpretation, I'll have you ripped to pieces, limb from limb. Nice guy. And your home's torn down. Well, like you'd need a home after being ripped limb. Anyway. I'll lavish you with gifts and honors, so go to it. Tell me the dream and its interpretation. Well, you think Craig Rochelle and Andy Stanley are motivational speakers. Nebuchadnezzar was a real motivational speaker. But Daniel asked for time. Daniel asked for time. This is a year, 2021, you can ask for time. We're not used to asking for time because we think we have to pin it all down just like that. But that's what Roommakers is about. It's taking time. It's saying, I've got time. In fact, I'm not going anywhere until God says, move on. Take time. When you make room for God to move, you can breathe a sigh of relief. You can actually pull back and go, I'm waiting on God. I'd much rather hear people say I'm waiting on God than I went out and did this and it was a big flop. And I know we hear all these words about, you know, go up and do, and it's not, doesn't matter if it falls flat. But there is also the tension of that, the other side of that, the balance of that is take time. Pray about things. Not too long or you might lose the girl. Point two, sigh of relief. The Bible talks a lot about sighing. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return, come with singing unto Zion. Everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain joy. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. Have you ever sighed a sigh of relief? I know I did after I passed my driving test after the third attempt. I know I did when I got my visa allowing me to stay in the country and marry Heather. I know I did when Fred dyed his hair from blonde to black and then went back again. You know what follows a sigh? It is a sharp intake of breath. God moved, Daniel blessed. It says in 2:19 of Daniel, that night the answer to the mystery was given to Daniel in a vision, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven. His immediate response was blessing the God of heaven. His immediate response was blessing the God of heaven. He knows all, does all. He changes the seasons, guides history, raises up kings, and also brings them down. And it goes on, God of all my ancestors, all thanks, all praise. You made me wise and strong, and now you've shown us what we asked for. You've solved the king's mystery. So Daniel felt incredible relief because in the moment of his lack, he made room for God. He inquired of God, and that's the thing to do. Daniel returned that relief back to God in praise. In praise. That's a great skill and habit to form in your life. Maybe you thought you were going to come here and hear sort of all the prophetic stuff about Daniel and all this and that. But actually, the simple truths of God are this. If you could turn your life into a life of praise, if you could turn your life into a life of giving back to God, because without him, everything that we do anyway, he gives us the power to do. And we return it back to him. Another skill for us to learn is not to be impressed by our amazingness, but by his. And third and final point is Rock of Ages. So Daniel 2:24. So Daniel went back to Arioch, who had been put in charge of the execution. He said, call off the execution. Take me to the king and I'll interpret his dream. You know what? God is looking for a people who are not just concerned about themselves, but are concerned about the life of others. He said, it's not just for me I'm going to seek God, but it's for my fellows, my mates, my friends. And listen, God is looking for a people who will be concerned enough about their family's state, about their friends' state, about their leaders' state, about their heart condition, about the world's state, that will go after God, seek God, and say, call off the execution. Call off the execution. God, I've got the answer to this problem. And then he goes on, and the king said, are you sure you can pull this off? And Daniel answered the king, no mere human can solve the king's mystery. I don't care who it is. No wise man, enchanter, magician, diviner. But there is a God in heaven who solves mysteries, and he solved this one. And if you just put up that picture. And there was he said, you dreamed the head of a statue, and the head of the statue was pure gold, the chest and the arms were silver, the belly and the hips were bronze, and the legs of iron and were of iron, and the feet of iron and clay. Thank you, it's there. But do you know what was amazing? He said, you know what you saw, King? You saw a stone that was cut out of the mountain, and it came and it hit the feet of the statue, and it fell. Now, these are talking about four kingdoms: the Babylonian kingdom, the Mede and the Persian empires, the Macedonian empire, and the Roman empire, and the kingdoms that arose after the fall of the Roman empire. But there is a stone that has been cut out of the mountain, and it deals with the kingdoms of this world. But the interesting thing is, I knew that when I said it deals with the kingdoms of this world, you would respond with, thank you, Heather. That was really good. That was pathetic, the rest of you. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Christ, our Lord. Amen? Wake up. They've become the kingdoms of our God. But that means the kingdom of little old Rob Porter is no more, but the kingdom of my Lord, my Jesus, my Christ has replaced the kingdom of Rob Porter. And we're going to stand to our feet tonight.